Botswana Diamond Mining Company, Debswana, which is a joint venture between the government of Botswana and De Beers, announced that it had unearthed the third largest diamond known to man. This apparently happened on the 1st of June, but was only announced this week. Botswana's president, Mokgweetsi Masisi, got to touch and feel the gem yesterday in Gaborone. The stone is 1,098 carats, and now tongues are wagging as to what it could be worth. Whatever it retails for, the Botswana government will get a cool 80% of the sale proceeds. Well, to speak to an expert on this latest find, I'm joined on the line by Petri Prins. He's the managing director at Prins & Prins Diamonds. Thank you very much, Petri, for joining us. This is a very exciting development for Debswana, and even for a diamond expert like yourself, looking from afar, as this, of course, is a rarity.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Sure.
Surely, this is quite extraordinary. It is the third largest rough gem quality diamond that's ever been discovered.
Hmm. So what do you suppose will be the process now? I mean, with the impact of COVID-19 and all of that, will there be a virtual auction from Botswana with the diamond only being transported to its destination once it has a buyer? How does this all work?
One can look at the past. A similar diamond, a very, very similar diamond that was discovered about 4 or 5 years ago, also in Botswana, went through quite a traumatic process in trying to find a buyer.
Hmm.
Normally what happens is that the owner will approach an auction house.
Yes.
And the auction house will take quite a commission. And what happens is that the auction house competes. There's different auction houses competing to sell a diamond like this. Like in the previous, the second largest diamond ever discovered, it was called the Lesedi La Brona.
Mm-hmm.
There, Sotheby's bid to sell the diamond, and they obviously had a reserve price.
Yes.
And at the auction, the reserve price wasn't reached. And I think what happened, the auctioneer then has to buy the diamond at what he guaranteed would be the minimum price.
Sure.
And in the previous diamond, the one I've just mentioned, there the stone didn't reach the expected reserve price.
Mm.
And I think the auctioneer had to take possession of the stone, and then a year later, Graf offered a ridiculous price, and he got it for 53,000, whereas at the auction, there was a price of $61 million for
sure.
this CD diamond. So it is a complex process. It is not easy to know the best route, how to go with something unusual, and obviously being such a major stone.
Yes.
It'll take some time before you get the right buyer.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But of course, the circumstances or the economic circumstances are a bit different right now. We've obviously got the COVID-19 pandemic, but we've learned that even though there's been terrible economic upheaval for most people,
yeah,
the ultra wealthy have actually won big on the stock markets and therefore become super, super rich. So if there are people who have that kind of appetite, I suppose, you know, they could very well get a buyer.
You're quite right. COVID didn't affect these super diamonds and their pricing. But what has affected the price? I think why they couldn't reach the 61 or whatever million they wanted for the previous big one was that in the last few years, a large number of these super diamonds were discovered, and which were never really thought of possible. But it has to do with the fact that the mining technology and the recovery technology has changed so that they could uncover these large, huge, big diamonds in the last 5 years. So we can expect similarly large diamonds also to be discovered in the future.
Mm.
And it all has to do with how people mine the diamonds. You know, normally a diamond or a miner has to crush the ore, and they set the rollers at a certain width, and anything bigger than that width will be crushed. So obviously in the past, they didn't expect these big diamonds, and they probably crushed some of the big ones into smaller pieces.
Yes.
But with new technology, they now can discover or recover the larger stones. And in the last few years, we've probably had 6 or 7 of these huge diamonds coming to the market.
Mm. So my next question, I suppose you've kind of given me a sense that it's going to be a tough one to answer. What sort of money do you think this particular gem is going to fetch?
This gem looks very similar to the second largest stone that was ever discovered. And that was also discovered in Namibia, in Botswana.
Yes.
And it was called the Lesedi de la Rona.
Uh-huh.
That was just a few carats bigger than this one. So this is a very similar type of diamond. It is also a very clear, perfectly colorless stone with a good clarity. So one should expect that it, because of the same size and same quality, that it should reach more or less the same price.
Yes.
And the previous one, a similar stone, Graf Jeweler, he paid $53 million for the stone in dollar. $53 million is what. So I would expect this stone to reach within a similar amount.
Something similar, yes. But ultimately, you know, for a rich person or an organization that buys a stone like that, what is the utility thereof? Because, you know, I suppose you could treat it like a piece of art, put it on a nice little thing and people can look at it and say, well, isn't that nice? But what is the utility otherwise?
No, there's no utility apart from I want to have the biggest diamond. People are prepared to pay money for that. But also, I must admit, these enormously super diamonds, these huge big ones, they're unique. They are called type 2A diamonds.
Yes.
And they have originated, that means crystallized, in the mantle about 600 kilometers below the surface.
Hmm.
That is far deeper than any other diamond. Most diamonds crystallize at about 180 to 200 kilometers from there. So these huge, big diamonds that they discovered recently come from very deep. They're very pure, very white, and that makes them quite unusual. And investors and obviously people who want to earn or to own something unique, and who's got the money will pay for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then just in terms of the impact for Debswana, which is jointly owned by De Beers and the Botswana government, if, you know, if everything goes contrary to what you expect and it's not a long process and they do manage to sell the diamond, presumably that's going to be very good news for them. Because with Debswana, I understand that they haven't been mining as much volume in recent times. And also the Botswana government, like with all the governments in our region here, has been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Quite correct. You're quite correct. Production has not been wonderful. Because the demand is not there at the moment.
Mm.
And with the Indian cutting factories all closed down during COVID, there's really a scarcity of good quality stones, although you can't find it. But there's, for these huge or super diamonds, you mustn't expect that COVID and anything will influence their pricing. But for a country like Botswana, a discovery like this is for publicity reasons good. Obviously, Botswana will get, as you said, 80% of the return, probably.
Yes.
It won't make a big difference to the Beers, but for Botswana as a country, I think it's fantastic.
Super. Petri, thank you very much for your time, sir. That was Petri Prins. He's the Managing Director at Prins & Prins Diamonds.